Broadcasting live from State Street and the old National Bank Studio.
WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago. You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
What's up and welcome in to the Carmen and Yurko Show right here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Jay Hood, in for Carmen and Yurko. If you're looking for the guys, they were on earlier. They're in for Cap and I from between 7 and 10. You can check out the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app if you miss Carmen and Yurko. But I'm in for them as we switch shows today. Glad to be in with you here on this Thursday afternoon. We've got Chris, we've got Adam, and we've got you for a two-hour ride. And then we hand it over to Waddle and Sylvie at 2 o'clock right here on Chicago's home for sports. Saying what's up to you guys on Twitch as well this afternoon, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks for keeping the conversation going, as always, on Twitch. It's funny that the show before this one came on with Shea Pepler, Cornette, and Field Yates on the Greeny Show were talking about the NFC North and talking about the Bears, because I want to start there with you today. So if you're a Bears fan, listen closely. I just want to ask you a simple question regarding this team. I mean, listen, you and I want to change. A divorce is imminent in sports, right? You don't get the Cal Ripken Jr.'s or the Tony Gwynn's or whatever NFL equivalent is there in which that particular player played for his entire career. You just don't get that anymore because of freedom of movement, because of free agency. Sometimes you know that the divorce is going to happen between a player and an organization. We want to change, and so we got it. No more Nagy, no more Pace coming into this Bears season. So what's your biggest concern with this upcoming season when it comes to the Bears? Because training camp for the Bears in the NFL is right around the corner, and you know it's not going to be pretty. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that this is going to be an easy watch, but at least we'll be able to watch the Bears in the NFL again. So here's what I'm looking forward to this upcoming season with the Bears. Number one, I think for everyone's number one, is Justin Fields. Without Nagy, without Andy Dalton breathing over his shoulder, it's Fields' job, number one. It's the Justin show. Everything that we've heard about this offseason is that Justin Fields is honest with himself and his teammates. This offense isn't ready for game one yet against San Francisco. Justin said as much. Says, we are not necessarily ready to start the season because it's all new. I went to Sports Illustrated, SI.com, and I found Gene Chamberlain. He covers the Bears and made some good points about number one. Check this out. So Fields started 10 games, and over the last five starts, he made great strides. He had a passer rating of 84, had over 1,000 yards as far as passing, 60% accuracy for those five starts. He had five touchdown passes to just four interceptions. Then he averaged a rock-solid 7 yards per pass attempt. Not bad, right? His rushing yardage improved as a result. He ran for 280 yards on 38 carries, 7.4 yards a carry in the final five games. Now, that's some positive numbers for you when it comes to Justin Fields. Again, you just know that last season was going to be a train wreck. I think I saw that. You saw that as well. It just didn't end up great for the Bears. That's number one. Should be everyone's number one, the development of Justin Field. Number two, what's up with the wide receivers and who can connect to Fields? So Chamberlain at SI.com says it's not difficult to replace a wide receiver who makes 38 receptions on the year. You know who that was? That was Allen Robinson last year with 38 receptions. So Pringle comes in. Pringle finished tied for second in the NFL with Mecole Hardman and Braxton Berrios and Gerald Everett and Noah Fant for an average separation yards at point of catch of 4.1 yards. It's a lot of numbers, but they really matter when it comes to this upcoming season. So Gene is on Mike Clay. Chamberlain does not like what Mike Clay had to say from ESPN, because Mike Clay says that Justin Fields will lead the NFL at throwing interceptions. Ooh, those are fighting words. Oh, Gene's not happy because he wrote about it at SI.com. He's not happy that Mike Clay says that Fields is going to lead the league in interceptions. Mike Clay says it's going to happen. Well, here's the thing. I just gave you a couple of those receivers that the Bears have. I don't know if Fields is going to lead the league in interceptions. However, you take a look at that unit and you don't see a sterling number one choice. As much as I like Darnell Mooney, I think we know that Darnell Mooney on a really good team, what, third receiver, develops into a number two receiver. I think that's his ceiling. Point is, though, is that I think that we know what he's been. Jay Hood in for Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Number three is the tight end position in Cole Kmet. Just like it's easy for a lot of quarterbacks, you know, if you don't have the big arm, you can at least connect to a tight end. And I think one of the bigger conundrums on this football team is what happens at the tight end spot? Cole Kmet. The question is, who is he? If he made a leap to 60 catches last season, he should be able to make a bigger one by being a bigger red zone receiver. There's no Jimmy Graham in his way. There is a clown car of tight ends on this roster, on this depth chart in front of me. But ultimately, it's Cole Kmet that has to develop. I do not want to tell you in July that he's a bust. I don't want to do that. However, the fanfare for Cole Kmet is that he was supposed to be a difference maker. And this is where it gets difficult with the conversation. Because I can make, on one side, make the case that, hey, here's the problem with the Bears. They just had no leadership as far as the head coach or as far as what they want to do from an offensive game plan standpoint. They just had no help. The other side of it is that Cole Kmet didn't fight to get open, more of a blocking tight end, and really did not come into his own. I can make both cases. Either way, we don't see Cole Kmet as a star or a superstar yet on this Bears team. It would really help Justin Fields in the offense if Cole Kmet would be more of a difference maker for this team. That's number three on my list. And number four, which was not discussed in this piece from Sports Illustrated, is the Bears defense. Okay. Here's something that you could do. Adam, you could tell your friends this. This is an easy bet, right, for your friends. The Bears defense, last year, you can win a bet with someone in your office. Ask them, what was the ranking for the Bears last season? Just ask them. Ask your friends, hey, what was the ranking for the Bears last season as far as defense? The answer is the Bears were ranked sixth on defense last year. So get your money. The Bears actually had the worst passer rating in the entire league. They had reached a franchise low for interceptions with 8. Their run defense was the worst it's been since 2016 and ranked in the bottom third. Only Quinn's record of 18.5 sacks and Khalil Mack and Travis Gibson really helped the defense from being a total collapse. So sixth is kind of like a wink and a nod, like sure, in some categories they might have been in the top 10, but it's really misleading. You watch the games like I watch the games, and it just was not fun. And more importantly, by the way, with this defense for the Bears, they were 22nd in the league in points allowed. So my bottom line for when it comes to this team is, you know that they're a work in progress. This all starts with Ryan Poles. Can you imagine? There's Ryan and Matt in the front office again for the Bears, but it's happening, right? I mean, it's like a nightmare, but again, only the Bears can hire a Ryan and Matt. And so you have Matt Eberflus, of course. Of course, you've got Matt Eberflus over here, who is the head coach. And of course, you've got Ryan Poles, who is the general manager for this team. A couple of things he mentions. Ryan Poles talked to Cap and I about a number of things. First of all, he talked about whether or not he's all in with Justin Fields.
Yeah, no, we're all in on Justin. I believe in Justin. Our staff believes in Justin. And like I said from the beginning, we're gonna set this up for him to succeed. And I know I've got a lot of questions, but what about receiver? What about it? We're going to do the best we can with the roster. We're going to improve the roster as well, but we're also going to get the scheme. We're going to get his technique. And our coaches are hard at work, and so is Justin. I mentioned this earlier today. Justin is grinding right now, and he's putting in the time. The leadership piece is coming out of him. So I'm excited. I'm excited about him and what he's going to become here.
The thing that I enjoy about interviews like with Poles or with Jed Hoyer of the Cubs or Rick Hahn or you know, the guys with the Bulls organization is to ask the big question. Because it's not a gotcha question as much as it is just trying to get the information, trying to figure out, you know, how to make someone uncomfortable enough to get out of their talking points, their bullet points, right? I remember talking with Jed Hoyer, Cap and I had Jed Hoyer on, and I asked him, like, you know, who are your pillars for your organization and, you know, what's going on with your team? Is it a rebuild? And it's not the talking point that they had scripted or had in mind. And I like to be able to ask questions like I asked Ryan Poles. I said, you know, how do you describe what this is? Because in his introductory press conference, Poles did not say that this is a rebuild. You and I know what this is. We've seen the Bears start over before, so this is not new. So there is Ryan Poles. How do you describe the Bears situation right now?
The way this league is built, every team has to build. Every team has to do some makeover work. Every team has guys coming in and leaving, you know, as they get older, you know, different things happen every single year. So the approach doesn't really change for any team. Sure, the foundation might have a few more players or whatever, but if you don't have the building mentality every single year, then you're not doing it the right way. So in my mind, that's why I just didn't want the rebuild seems like, you know, we're going to tear this thing down to the studs and we're going to – no, there's good players on this roster. So it's my job, it's our job to develop talent, bring talent in, and just keep moving forward. So that, you know, that was kind of my whole point with that.
I guess it's interesting when you hear from Ryan Poles saying that there's impact players in this roster and it's never something that you, you know, feel comfortable with. You're always trying to build on the roster. I totally understand that. But I'm fascinated of guys like Ryan Poles who will tell you, the fan, and us in the press that, no, everything's fine. The roster's fine. Did he say that in the interview process with George McCaskey and Ted Phillips? Did he say that everything's fine? I guess that if you walk in and you sit down and George McCaskey says, what do you think of our roster? And so what is Poles going to say? Oh, yeah, everything's fine with the roster. I think we could build on this. Well, that'd be a lie. Otherwise, like, why are you sitting in the chair? Why are you replacing Ryan Pace? My answer to him is, well, we can make some improvements here on this roster. Instead of saying that, oh, no, everything's fine. We've got players. Yeah, you have actual players on the roster. I see the depth chart in front of me. Yes, you do have players. It's not about players, though. It's not about guys with a heartbeat and cleats. What it's about is that, do you have impact players? Look, you and I watch the league. We know what you need. You need to have impact players on offense and defense. You got to have a plan of attack. You have to be able to look at a team and say, okay, this is who we are. If you don't know what Bears football is at this point in time, then it is a rebuild. But if you can't describe what Bears football is in a positive way, then you get what you deserve, which is, you know, let's see, 2 years of the playoffs, getting bounced early, and then a lot of ineptitude offensively. That's kind of what the Bears are right now. So my bottom line is, you know, this team is a work in progress. Even though my man Poles will not say rebuild, I'll say it, rebuild, because that's exactly what it is. I just want the Bears to be interesting and relevant and grow into this new regime, because we want to change, right? How many calls did you put into Carmen and Yurko and all the other shows here at ESPN 1000 and say, you know what? I'm just tired of this. Tired of seeing the offense look the same. Tired of seeing this. I want to see something new. So I want Nagy and Pace removed. And guess what? The Bears did it. They listened and they realized that it was not going in the right direction. Offensive guru, my ass. Nagy now is a quarterback coach getting coffee in Kansas City for Andy Reid. It's time for the Fields era to begin. Growing pains and all. So, Adam, let's open the phone lines at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. I want to talk Bears with you and ask the question to you. So you got change, you asked for it, and now you have it. So you tell us, what is your biggest concern coming into this season? I told you that Fields is number one. Is my concern that he stays healthy and develops. But what's your biggest concern? That doesn't have to necessarily be a negative, as much as it's something you're looking forward to seeing as training camps open across the NFL and, of course, here at home in Chicago. So we'll talk more about the Bears. And also coming up next, we'll go through an interesting survey asking us Bears fans what we like and what we don't like about the Bears. Some Bears talk with you on Carmen and Yurko. Jay Hood in for the guys. You're listening to Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
Jay Hood in for Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app as we do a show switch here today. Yurk is on the links. So they did 7 to 10. If you missed it, it's on the ESPN Chicago app. And I'm in for the guys today, and then we're going to crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie coming up at 2 right here on ESPN 1000. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Bears. And my whole feeling is that I'm just focused in on the development of Justin Fields. I kind of know what the record is right now. You know, I said when the schedule first came out, first blush with the pen, I said, okay, let me do a little win-loss, 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 win-loss. And I came up with 7 wins. And I think that that's not bad. I might go backwards and go with 5 or 6 by the time we get to training camp. By the time we get to the beginning of the season, I might change it again right before the season starts against San Francisco. But at this point in time, it feels like 7 wins only because the NFL, not just the Bears, but the NFL, is predicated on talent. And so that's why I asked you earlier your thoughts about what is your biggest concern coming into training camp, because it's going to open right around the corner. So getting your thoughts here, again, at ESPN1000 on Twitter, and of course on Twitch as well. Keep that conversation going. Love to just get your thoughts on what concerned you. Now, you know, what sucks for us as sports fans is the unknown, the big unknown. Like, okay, at this point in time, it's funny where we are in Chicago sports right now. This has been a weird July going into August. Right? It's been odd because a lot of it's based on the unknown. If you're a Cubs fan, you know that there is some things right now that's unknown about this team, right? You don't know when the Cubs will be able to win. You don't know when that's going to happen. The same thing with the Bears. The Bears are starting over, new regime, maybe new life being breathed into Lake Forest at Halas Hall. Same thing with the Blackhawks, going through a rebuild. You don't know exactly what direction it's going to, but what sucks is the unknown. And so the Bears have made changes, but we have no idea when the Bears are going to be good enough to excel. So I read Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic, theathletic.com. He provided a poll asking Bears fans about the state of the team. I won't go through all of it. I just want to just highlight a few things. So one of the things that's on here is, how does your confidence in Justin Fields' potential compare with how you felt at this time last year? So your confidence in Justin Fields' potential, how does it compare to this time last year? And so you had 3 categories. One is the same, more confident, and less confident. 45% of the people that voted said the same, feel the same, meaning that it's almost like square one. And that's how I look at it, too, with Justin. To me, it's like starting over because you have a new offensive coordinator in Getsy. There's a new head coach in Eberflus, and I have no idea if he has any idea of how to be able to make an offense work, especially as a longtime defensive coordinator. I don't know how that works. But Luke Getsy is a first-time OC. That should be a red flag. Not in a negative way, but just that it's a learning curve. There's not a lot of experience at that OC spot because even though Getsy was part of the Green Bay Packers system, he wasn't necessarily a guy that was calling plays. So it's like Fields, as well as Getsy, will be able to learn on the job. And that could be good because it's fresh, or maybe there's going to be some growing pains. As long as the pains are not long, I think you and I can tolerate it. I mean, if you're a Bears fan, you know you've seen a lot of losing. I know I have. So I can tolerate it as long as it manifests into something positive at the end of the day, at the end of the time for Justin Fields. So how does your confidence in Justin Fields compare? The same, 45%, more confident, 29%, and less confident at 25%. So, and the way I'd answer that question is, it's probably the same because it feels like it's day one. This time last year, let's go back 365 days. Let me tell you what the topics were here at ESPN 1000 when it came to the Bears. The topic was, okay, so why can't Justin start? Why is Andy Dalton, why was he guaranteed the job? You do remember this, right? This was just a year ago. Why is Andy Dalton the starter? And why was he just named the starter? Andy Dalton made the comment that he said, oh, I really believe that when I signed here, the Bears guaranteed me the job. In some ways, he said that. And so that was the whole thing on television, on ESPN 1000. It was like, wait a minute, how's this guy just guarantee the job? It's not going to be a battle between Fields and Andy Dalton. Not the case. Andy started, Andy got hurt. Here comes Justin Fields. Other questions on this poll from theathletic.com is, what was Poll's best offseason move? 4 categories here. One of them is trading Khalil Mack, hiring Matt Eberflus as head coach, shedding the veteran contracts to Danny Trevathan and Eddie Goldman, who's retired, by the way, and Tariq Cohen, who's chilling. The other one was drafting DBs Kyle Gordon and Jaquan Brisker. 36% of the people that voted on this, what was Poll's best offseason move, was getting the DBs, and that's so right. I just mentioned to you in our last segment how bad the defense was. I told you, hey, fool your friends, get some money, get yourself a lunch bet, because even though it says the Bears were a top 10 defense, you know it wasn't. There was holes in that secondary. There was issues in that secondary, big plays over the middle. It was one of the worst performances that I've seen from the Bears defense in about 20 years. And again, numbers aside, watch the games. The big holes over the middle on the backside of the linebackers in front of the secondary, it happened a lot with this team. And so you could just tell it just wasn't the same, especially when Khalil Mack wasn't there. So 36% say the DBs. 35% say shedding those contracts. And that is true also. Without Tariq Cohen, who was hiding in the corner, by the way, in the corner office. Tariq Cohen has been with the team. I know I saw him on the sidelines for games, but he hadn't played. What was it, Adam, 2 years? It's been like 2 years, right, that he hasn't played?
Yeah, I mean, he's got the knee, so they give him the knee office. Yeah. They give him he's got the gamer chair set up.
Yes.
He's got the blackout lights going.
Right.
And he sets up with his code red and he just plays video games until he's healthy.
When he heads to the office, does he go backwards and then only gets like one yard at a time, but he's going backwards in the office before he can get to the corner office?
I think that is true. It was a lot of backpedaling, Chris,
yes.
Especially making sure that the new management didn't see him, right? There was no question that there was...
His offices are east-west, not north.
Oh, yeah, just to make sure, right? He's like, you know, very sneakily going around the corner. I saw him, man. He was right there at House Hall, and the new management came in. They were like, all right, we got to shed some of this money. All right. Trevathan, gone. Goldman, Tariq Cohen. Is he working on our finance? Is he in the front office? Who is Tariq Cohen? Is he here? And he's like in the broom closet, like Adam said, in the gamer chair, big screen.
He's the head of esports.
It's like, Cohen? Yeah. Oh, well, that's a surprise. Come on in. I think they were shocked when he came in, the new management. And they said, oh, you're Tariq Cohen? Huh. So sit down, please. So I see that you're still on the books.
He tries to chime in during the draft. He's in the war room. He's like, I don't know, guys. I don't like that Vilas.
Who is that guy?
Who's that?
And give me
Who's Kyle Gordon?
Give me some coffee.
Come on.
Who is that guy? And so they said, wait a minute. What's going on here? Wait, you've been on the books and you haven't played in 2 years? All right, you got to go, man. No. They had to throw him out the building. That's crazy. So I like that. So shedding the contracts was a good idea. Get drafting the DBs. That's exactly what you need to do. You got to get younger in that spot. One other thing that was on this particular thing from theathletic.com I just want to share is that the question was, which position concerns you least? Which position concerns you least? Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this on the Carmen and Yurko show. Running back was 61%. Yeah, no one's worried about David Montgomery. That guy was running the football like it was his last carry. Every time, because he knew that he'd be taken out. He could have 12 yards and Nagy would take him out and they'd bring in someone else, as if Montgomery needed the rest. He did not. He wanted to stay out there. 61% say, don't worry about the running back position. That's fair. The linebackers at 10%, quarterback at 9.4%, the position that concerns you the least. I find that interesting. Like 61% strong with the running back, but the quarterback at 9%. And so, yes, everyone feels good about what's going on at that spot. But I'm still concerned about the offensive line and for Justin Fields as well. One other thing before I go to the phone lines. Again, 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. What concerns you most about the Bears this upcoming season? Again, it's not necessarily a negative. As much as what comes to your mind. I say Bears, you say what? So that's why I'm asking you. One other thing about Mr. Clay from ESPN.com. He says that the Bears offensive line was ranked last in the league, and that's one rating difficult to dispute. It's the main reason why Fields led the league in one negative category. He was sacked 49 times, 48 by the Browns, I believe, in that first game that he played. Seriously, I mean, that's always an issue. It's something that we always talk about. How does that get better? Well, again, time and effort. And making sure these guys are healthy and working as a cohesive unit, because you have to protect the greatest asset on this football team, and that is Justin Fields. Jay Hood, in for Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. Just your overall thoughts. I say Bears, you say what? What concerns you most about the upcoming season? Let's go to Jeremy in Peoria, Illinois, listening with us on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Hoodie, how you doing, man?
I'm well. Thanks for checking in.
It's good. It's good to hear from you. I'm good to hear you on the 12 o'clock hour. I never get to listen around this time, but I tuned in today just to listen to you.
Thank you.
So my biggest concern, I think, as everybody, as you said, is Justin Fields. He needs to be healthy, and I don't know if he's going to be able to stay healthy with that offensive line that's held together with duct tape and bubble gum. And you know, it's a big concern. If he doesn't stay healthy, I mean, we got Simeon, but who is Simeon? I like Simeon from Northwestern, but what do we have? And if he doesn't stay healthy, do they next year draft another quarterback with the first pick if we have a bad record, and then we have to go through this whole thing all over again?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because two schools of thought comes to mind. One, you hear from Ryan Poles, who was on with Cap and I, talking about, hey, you know what, we are locked in on Justin Fields. Well, you have no other choice because of who you just mentioned, Trevor Siemian. Just a backup, veteran guy, Northwestern, we know what he can and cannot do. Justin Fields, that's the big question mark. We don't know what he can and cannot do. It's only been a handful of games. If you judge a quarterback based on seven games, I would say that you're a bad judge of character. The other thing is, though, is that even though Poles will say to us and to the fans, yeah, I mean, that's our guy. I mean, that's Justin Fields is our guy. If he looks bad, do not be surprised if the Bears get themselves a veteran quarterback or draft one. The old Ron Wolf theory, the old general manager of the Packers, would be to draft a quarterback every year. So, whether it's high or low in the draft, get one, because you're always going to need one. You got to be able to mold and shape the next generation of quarterback play. So I totally understand that philosophy as well. So, Jeremy, don't be surprised. Whatever happens this year, if the Bears look horrible offensively, where Justin's just not getting it, you don't see how he's getting better, don't be surprised if they get themselves a veteran quarterback, or if they find themselves in the draft and say, you know what, that's the best player available, we got to get him to push Justin. There's nothing wrong with competition. Right now, in this spot right now, I'm competitive. I'm against competition on the radio. And the same thing for Justin Fields. I think he needs a little push if things don't work out well. It's going to be his job now to lose at this point in time. But if he struggles, yeah, there's no reason why Poles won't be able to find someone to say, all right, it's your job, Poles, but I need you to lock in a little bit more. And nothing wrong with that. All right, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. I see you on hold. We'll get to your phone calls. You're concerned about the Bears, whether it's a good concern or just something that really is a big red flag for you this upcoming Bears season. We'll get your phone calls coming up next. It is Jay Hood on Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko. See Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Jay Hood on the Carmen and Yurko show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. The guys worked earlier today between 7 and 10. Catch the podcast if you missed it on the ESPN Chicago app. Speaking of the ESPN Chicago app, that's where you can find Bear Down with Bleck and Abdallah. You need more Bears. We're talking Bears now. You need more Bears? Go to the ESPN Chicago app. Look for Bleck and Abdallah. It's in the tile. Just click Bear Down and boom. You get all the Bears information you need on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad you're in today. McKnight at the Movies is coming up at 1:35. We talked to Connor. You get your chance to win a prize with Connor McKnight coming up in an hour from now right here on ESPN 1000. Adam, you might want to tell Connor he's up at 1:35. He's standing outside like a hobo. I'm not sure why,
Well, that's a Connor McKnight thing to do.
Stands and watches.
Yeah, Connor's just out there.
He's got the sign that says the feds have been putting stuff
there
in
he
my...
Is.
Yes. You know, the guy that's been standing out there for 20 years?
Yes.
He stands outside and he's got the sign that says the government has put stuff in my food.
Yes.
They don't want me to report this. You try to take a picture of him. I'm trying to get his message out.
Yes.
And he turns away.
And the birds
like
aren't real. He's out here yelling at the pigeons that they're not real,
Listen,
that they're little robots.
That's real. That's true, though.
The little birds put their wings over their ears because they don't want to hear McKnight talk about it. I think that's pretty clear. So we'll have McKnight coming up at 1:35 with McKnight at the Movies right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Speaking of movies, by the way, I'm already locked in. Chris and Adam. I don't know when's the last movie that you saw. Nope. Friday night, locked in.
You got your tickets?
City 14.
All right. They call
you.
All right.
Restaurant quality. Got it early, man. Right there in front of the handicap section. Always
that's
good.
Perfect.
Oh, little H1, little H2, yeah. Right there. Because there's where your leg room is, right? I have it all planned out.
Reclining?
Oh, God, yes.
Drinks? Crown?
No. I don't need, like, not, for this one, I want to be watch this because I'm a big fan of this genre of movies, black horror. So I'm all into that. So I'm all for that, man. I'm happy for them.
So you said you got your tickets locked in already.
Yeah.
You're ready to go Friday night.
Yeah.
Were there seats around you available?
Yes.
Okay. Like, all right. Because we're...
Like the whole theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, because we're thinking Friday night as well.
Come through.
Okay. So
the late show.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, if Michelle can
James
stay
Corden?
Awake. Yeah, if she can stay awake, we're definitely going.
I've read her awake.
Yesterday, I read six different reviews for the movie. I love reading everything before a film we go in. Mm-hmm. There were no spoilers from what I could tell, and it sounds as if this is Jordan Peele's Jaws. So if you want to compare him to the start of Spielberg's career, what they're suggesting is that this is his spectacle summer blockbuster, much like Jaws was for Spielberg.
I love it.
I can't wait.
I love it.
Can't wait.
Man, I mean, they've been promoting this since the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Was there a Super Bowl spot for this, right?
Yeah, there was.
But it was
like
nothing. There was nothing on it. It just, from the sky, it just came down from Jordan Peele.
Nope. 7-22-22. Nope.
That's it.
Chris and I talked about this last night. Is that can you think of another director where, like, this is his third movie and all we needed to see was Jordan Peele presents Nope.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, I'm in. Okay. Yep. That's it. I'm in.
Because you give Key and Peele the benefit of the doubt. Because they gave us so many laughs. Mm-hmm. Because their comedy was so great. And Peele does his own thing. And it's like, I feel good about Jordan Peele. The first couple locked me, so I've got to be able to watch this. So I got my tickets last week. I want to make sure we had our seats where you get the nice leg room. the reclining seats. Can't wait tomorrow.
You know, for me, it's the original idea, the original concept. So much of movie making now today is something that's already previously in the pop culture universe. Mm-hmm. Original properties, like it's all Marvel movies, superheroes, all, you know, stuff from your childhood remade, right? His movies are unique.
Yes.
And they're original and they're incredible. And that's why, like Adam said, three films in, we don't really know. Like, we can kind of guess this has something to do with aliens coming to Earth, right? But outside of that, we really don't know what the film is about. And we're all in. We're ready for it. I can't wait.
So Peacock is one of these women that like to be able to poke holes in the continuity of a movie. Right?
Sure. Yeah.
It's like, wait, that scene didn't make sense. It didn't match up to one or the other. But you can't poke holes in a Jordan Peele movie yet. It, the continuity makes sense.
Yeah.
That's my point. And so looking forward to that. And again, McKnight, the movies, the hobo, standing outside. We'll get to him coming up at 1:30.
He is still standing out there, by the way.
He texted me Christopher Nolan, and he came up.
Okay, so Nolan, here's the thing, because I was looking into this yesterday for the show last night. So Nolan had Memento, and then he had Insomnia, but then his third film was Batman Begins, which is a superhero big budget film, right? Like, the difference with Jordan Peele is that he is not taking previously known stories and taking them to film.
Yeah.
That's the difference. And so, like, it really is. You got to look at Spielberg, at the start of Spielberg's career, and that's where you get E.T., Jaws, Third Encounter, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Mm-hmm. Those are original film ideas.
Well, what about Tarantino goes Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown?
Yeah, so original. Yeah,
sorry,
Tarantino.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But that's typical McKnight, though. That's day one. Brother bringing up Jordan Peele. Christopher Nolan. What about him? Nobody asked you about Nolan. Let me just have mine. Can I have mine?
I said Paul Thomas Anderson, where you go Hard Eight, Boogie Nights, and then Magnolia was really bad. But
it's tough to go three for three to start a career.
Yeah.
It's tough to go three for three.
PTA gave you 2 out of 3, but not 3 out of 3. But I got my one. Why can't I just love on Jordan Peele just for a second? If you pardon the expression. 312-332.
Black Horror.
3776 is our telephone number as we go to Matt in Streamwood. As we talk about the Bears, what's your biggest concern about the Bears on ESPN 1000? Hey, Matt.
Hey, Hoodie, thanks for taking my phone call. My biggest concern, Hoodie, is about Justin Fields. He suffered 8 straight losses last year. Mm-hmm. I just need him to get back into his winning ways because, as you know, the losses start mounting. He's going to get into bad habits, kind of like what Jay Cutler did. Mm-hmm. I just don't want him to get into bad habits and start losing into his mind. So, and the second thing is that I just want him to see him against his division. I think he only played, and won one time against the Lions. I know he played against one game against Green Bay or two, and against Minnesota one time. I just want him to see him take this division back, as Ryan Pohl said, and just have this be his division, kind of what Aaron has done for this division since 2010.
Well, you know what, Matt? Here's the thing. You're right. Everything you said was right, and I would have concern about that as well. But you know, this is a clean slate for him. And I guess my concern is it's a clean slate, but also with someone who's never called plays before. Not a negative, but just the lack of experience is a concern for me. You know, like, I can believe in Justin Fields and not really be hot on Getsy as the offensive coordinator, because whatever Getsy calls, Justin has to execute. That all has to work in concert.
Woody, do you have a bigger concern with Getsy than you did with Matt Nagy? Like, because of his inexperience? Like, when Matt Nagy, what, he had 6 games under his belt, are you more concerned with Getsy than you were with Nagy, or vice versa?
I am concerned because, okay, so at least you saw Nagy call some plays. And some would say, well, that's really Andy Reid was vetoing some of this stuff. It doesn't matter. At least he had the experience with one of the top quarterbacks in the league in Patrick Mahomes. So he had that kind of experience. I understand why Nagy was hired. I totally understand that. It was time for the Bears to find someone who had an offensive identity coming from a great offensive system like Kansas City and be able to get that done. The only thing is with Nagy, and here was a learning curve for him. He tried to bring in the Kansas City system without the Kansas City players. Right? It was such an advanced book, right? Like, I need you to cut here at 5 yards. I need to cut here in 10 yards. It's like, Allen Robinson's like, I can't do that. Mooney's like, I'm not sure what you want me to do here. And all of a sudden, the playbook was big. And then all of a sudden, the playbook was not as big anymore. Now it's 2/3 of the playbook. And then Mitch cannot throw the ball down the field, cannot read defenses. And all of a sudden, now the playbook is about 1/3. And it's kind of like, okay, so what can you do? Well, we can run the football. Okay, can you connect to Komet? No. Can you make Robinson better? No. Can you make Mooney better? No. And it's like, okay, then your offense is pretty much shot. And just like the Nagy and Pace regime, pretty much shot. You can't score in this league. You can't win. As simple as that. So, yeah, I'm concerned with Getsy in that he has not a lot of experience. He's been in the room with Rodgers. Has he told Rodgers exactly how to be able to run that offense? Didn't have to, because it is Aaron Rodgers. He knows what he's doing. It's a great question, Matt, and great call. Thank you for checking in. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. If you're just joining us here, I'm Jay Hood, in for Carmen and Yurko. The guys did the show earlier between 7 and 10. I want to get your thoughts on the Bears. You know, training camp is right around the corner. And so I'm just wondering, if I say Bears, you say what, as far as you're concerned, one way or the other, about this upcoming Bears season? All right, we'll have that and more, and also a big signing taking place in the NFL just about an hour ago. We'll talk about that on Carmen and Yurko.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Jay Hood in for the guys today. We'll crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie coming up at 2 o'clock. We're guest free today. We got Connor McKnight, but he's just lurking like a hobo stick. He's got like a bag on the stick, and he's just fishing for opinions or something. I'm not sure what he's doing, but he'll be with us at 1:35 with McKnight on the movies right here on ESPN 1000. Right before we came on the air, there's breaking news about Kyler Murray of Arizona, the quarterback for the Cardinals. He agrees to a $230.5 million deal. It's the richest pact of any quarterback in the NFL right now, according to Adam Schefter. 5-year extension, $230.5 million. The deal, which runs through 2028, includes $160 million guaranteed. That's what matters. no matter what the big eye-popping number is, $160 million in guaranteed money, that's take-home pay. It's in his pocket. The Cardinals officially announced that five-year extension, did not disclose terms. The average value of Murray's deal, $46.1 million, which is the second highest in the NFL, only behind Aaron Rodgers. So there you go. If you are these teams, and this is why this is interesting. It's funny that we talk about the Bears and Justin Fields here this afternoon. Because you have to go one of two ways. Either you're going to have to find that veteran quarterback, shine him up, and put him into your offense. Or you're going to have to build and cultivate one through the draft. Now, Kyler Murray has put up some really tremendous numbers. Is he tier two? Yeah, he might be in the middle of my tier two as far as quarterbacks. Tier one would have 8 to 10 quarterbacks on it, but he's not a tier one quarterback. He's tier two. And that's fine, too, because at least you know, okay, for 5 years, we're going to go for it, and we're going to pay through the nose for Kyler Murray. You do what you got to do. But, I mean, it's so important. It's not just media hype or fan hype or fantasy football hype. It's so important to get the quarterback position right. This is why we're exalting Jay Cutler here on ESPN 1000. The reason why he's got time on the air is because he's the best quarterback that we've seen in quite some time. And it's like, you look through the numbers, it's like, oh, you know, Jay, he did this, he did not that. Jay Cutler put up numbers. And he was with the ball club 7-8 years and put up numbers. The results were not exactly what we wanted as Bears fans. But the point is, though, is that you wanted a quarterback and the Bears stuck with Jay Cutler. And so what I want is for us to turn the page on Jim McMahon, turn the page on Jim Miller, turn the page on the 1 year of Eric Kramer, turn the page on Jay Cutler, and just go for finding a quarterback that is a cornerstone for this franchise for the next decade, that's putting up not just wins, but Super Bowl championships. If this is the quarterback you believe in, build around him and get it done. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Here's something I never see during the morning. Lady walking by, lady walking by, sucking her thumb. She had to be about 30.
I saw that too. I was like, "What? What is she?"
Let's go right to the phone lines. What are you saying there? As we go
It's just like, don't you grow out of that at some point? You just start smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, right, right. The cigarette, the blunt. That's the thing that replaces the thumb in that spot, does it not?
What if there was something on the thumb?
Was she got a peanut butter thumb?
Probably. Nothing wrong with that. Jim in Crystal Lake on ESPN 1000. Hi, Jim.
Hey, man. So what concerns me about the Bears is quite a bit, really. But to break it down, I'm just concerned about how this coaching staff is going to properly evaluate these guys. They got so many holes, so many gaps. You know, Justin Fields isn't going to have enough time. Is his receivers going to do the right thing? The defense, is the defensive line going to do their job, mm-hmm. you know, to keep the offense to, you know, to give the linebackers room to make tackles? You know, way back when the Bears, they had a bunch of interceptions like 3 or 4 years ago, you know, it was basically because the defensive line was getting to them. So, I mean, I'm just saying, properly evaluate them. I just don't see how they're going to be able to do that. But the one thing I do think that the Bears got going for them is that I think they're going to have the coaching staff is going to be able to get these players to play for them. That's hopefully, what I'm hoping for.
Hopefully that's the case, right? I mean, here's what I've been saying, Jim, and I appreciate your phone call. I said that Eberflus will not make Arlington Heights, meaning that once the stadium is built, he won't be the head coach. The reason why I said that, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but also with a serious eye as well at the future, is that this feels like a bridge to something else. Now, Eberflus is defensive coordinator. Doesn't mean that he has no offense. And it does feel fresh and it does feel new. And I'm all for that. I got no problem with that. But it's about the development of the quarterback. And then who's the next Khalil Mack? Who's the next impact player defensively that will be able to get to the quarterback? Because you know what this city has been. Our city's been about running backs and defensive players for decades. Defensive you and running back you. What about offensive you? How about 24, 25 points a game? How about being able to not only have a stout defense, but also put up some numbers? How about that? How about catching up with the Joneses, keeping up with the Joneses offensively in this league? for those that still look at the offense from 25 years ago, so if you just run the football and, you know, if you just have a strong offensive line and, you know, throw the ball every now and then, you'll be able to win a championship. Okay, Trent Dilfer was 2000. Stop. You've got to be able to put some points up and at least have the threat that you could be able to be a threat offensively. 312-332-3776, our phone. I'm not looking for, like, you know, five wide every play, but I am looking for this offense to be able to percolate. Nothing wrong with that. Southside, here's Mike on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
What's going on, Jay Hood? Quick question, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Is the South Loop considered the South Side?
No.
Okay, then. I'm sorry. I'm not Mike on the South Side. I'm Mike in the South Loop. What's going on, brother?
I mean, it's South, but you know South Side when you're there, right? You know.
I know. I call you all the time when we talk about it. Yeah, I can't do Valois today. But
okay. Right.
Yeah, but South Loop. Yeah, but I can. But I can sum up my concern for the Bears in two words: Justin Fields. I'm concerned about his safety. I'm concerned about his psyche. I'm concerned about his development. I'm just concerned, man. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
First of all, not only is the offensive line bad, but when you look at it, this defense is going to give up so many points that come fourth quarter, they're going to be teeing off on him like they're on the live tour.
Right.
And then okay, so protection holds up, and what happens? Now the receivers run the wrong route. Psyche gone. And you can't develop if you can't stay on your feet and the receivers aren't running the right place. So I'm just down, man. I love my Bears, but, I mean, when you're looking at one of the worst defenses we've probably seen in years out of this team.
Yeah.
Questionable offensive line, young quarterback, and a new coach who I hope he's good, you know, but there's nothing there to trust. I just don't know, man. I just don't know. But that's all right. I'll just keep rooting for the public league on the South Side. Maybe we can get another state champion out of that.
I mean, you can watch the Bears and the public league, too. You can do both. Just understand, I'm bracing you before they even get into training camp. There's going to be growing pains. I know what that looks like as a Bears fan. As a longtime Bears fan, it's going to be growing. But the thing is, how do you overcome? Like, if the offensive line has to come together, defense, it is scattershot with a whole bunch of different players, and we don't know who's going to make an impact on a regular basis. We're used to a good defense, but I don't know if we're going to see that this year, because we certainly didn't see it last year. It's not me being pessimistic. It's just looking at the roster and looking at talent. Where is the talent that's going to make a difference for this Bears team? And if it clicks, when will it click? This upcoming season? In 2 years? These are all questions. More questions than negative thoughts from me regarding this Bears team. If you're on hold, you will be on the air. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Give me a couple of minutes, and we'll get back to your Bears thoughts. Also still to come, some thoughts about James Harden and his new deal. How does that affect the Bulls? It's Carmen and Yurko.